time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben-Joseph, traditional naturopath.
This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order for however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio. There are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information and entertainment you find here at Natural Solutions Radio. And thank you all for joining us. I've been a naturopath for almost 40 years, so sometimes when you ask a question about a specific product, if I've never seen the product or the ingredient list, sometimes the name of a product is just a name, and I'm not sure. I need to know what their ingredients are. And then again, a lot of times there's hundreds of companies. Some of the companies are better than other companies. Problem with a lot of the companies is the CDC and CLA, which is a private laboratory. They've been going around, they go to different health food stores around the country, and they'll just take out off the shelf a bunch of different products. One of the products, as an example, that they were testing is melatonin. They took just 100 different melatonin products and tested them, and they found that more than 90% of them did not have the actual ingredient amount as listed on the bottle. So if it said 3 milligrams, they might have only measured 1 milligram in there. And then a lot of companies that are being tested are finding out that there's contaminants, either solvents that weren't cleaned out when they were making it, or other kinds of contaminants in there. So I'm very careful about what I carry. We have our brick-and-mortar store, Health Naturally, that's here in El Paso, Texas, 7040 North Mesa, for those of you that live in El Paso. We carry the Nature Sunshine herbal products, and I can say in talking to them, I call the company quite a bit, talk to the science department to get an exact understanding of what's in there. They have never failed an independent laboratory assay for potency or contamination since 1972. That's something that I look at quite a bit. I think it's something that a company can say that. Last week, I want to mention that again just because it's so important, a new fungus, a yeast. There is a new yeast that they kind of, I guess the CDC doesn't want to create any kind of panics or anything, but there is a new fungus that's really increasing and colonizing everywhere, and they found that it's 41 to 88% fatal, and that's very high. They're talking about that because of all of the agricultural use, the pesticides and the herbicides, especially the fungicides. Actually, what you've heard of MRSA, which are these antibiotic-resistant bacterias, and again, because so many antibiotics are being used, and in the agricultural industry, especially the husbandry, food husbandry, where animals are raised for food, whether it's beef or pork or lamb or chickens or turkey, any of these animals that are being raised for food, they are given now antibiotics routinely in the food. What's happening is you now have these super bacteria called MRSA, and which are antibiotic-resistant bacteria, and that's because of so many antibiotics. What a lot of people don't realize is that about 90% of all of the antibiotics in the United States is consumed by animals in animal feed, and the other 10% goes to humans. Well, now they found the same thing in agriculture with all of the fungicides. People don't realize in soil, there's a symbiotic relationship between all the organisms that live in the soil. There's a lot of funguses that live in the soil, and they help to break down foods and break down rotting plants and animals or bugs or anything else. Whatever dies in the soil, these bacteria and funguses break them down, and then they become part of the soil and part of nutrients for the plants to pick up. Well, because the agricultural industry uses so many fungicides, herbicides, and insecticides, and all of these, but mainly the fungicides, they're killing all of the healthy funguses, and they've now creating this new super fungus, and it's called Candida aureus. The aureus has to do with the ear, and basically the first person that was diagnosed had the Candida in their ears, so that's where the name came from, Candida aureus. But what they're finding, and again, the headline is, population has a dangerous pathogen that has a 41 to 88% fatality rate. Now, what they've also didn't talk about in this article, but I've done the research on, is there's one thing that both for the MRSA bacteria and for the pathogenic funguses, there is one thing that both fungus and bacteria have not been able to create a resistance to, and that's essential oils. Now, there's a lot of companies that sell essential oils, and I would say most of those essential oils are pretty good on the market. We chose a company called doTERRA. We think they're the best essential oils on the market. But what they have found is that these funguses are susceptible to essential oils. Now, because the fungus puts out spores that are in the air, this is one of the things where we're telling people, check out and look at having a diffuser, an essential oil diffuser in your home. If you have kids, put a small one in their bedroom. Put one in your bedroom for the parents. And because the diffuser puts the essential oil microscopic little droplets directly in the air, the Candida aureus is in everywhere. It's in the air. It falls down to the ground on the carpets. It's on the walls. It's on the ceilings. It's on doorknobs. It's on all kinds of different things. So what happens is that the essential oils will go in the air, then basically wherever the essential oil goes, it will knock out and kill that fungus. So this is one of the reasons that we're recommending essential oils. Some people use Melaleuca. Some people use frankincense. We know that frankincense has been around for a couple thousand years and has been being used. Frankincense comes from the Boswellia tree, which has boswellic acid in it, and it's one of the strongest known anti-inflammatories. There's an expression in the holistic movement industry, and it says, when in doubt, use frankincense. So if you're not sure what you have, now a good company like we use doTERRA essential oil frankincense, you can take that internally. And some of the oils you can't. It'll say for external use only on the bottle. doTERRA really prides itself on having some of the highest grade essential oils. You can actually use those in an internal use. You can carry it around when you shake a lot of people's hands or doorknobs or going different places and touching things. You know, every couple of hours you take a little essential oil, put it on your hands, rub your hands together. You've created a barrier on your hands that kill viruses and bacteria. The other one is you put a little drop between your fingers, put it underneath your nose, and every time you inhale, you'll have the vapors that actually kill those funguses and bacteria. There's people are being exposed to so many different things, whether it's funguses or bacteria. People need to be aware that these things exist. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. 833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at Natural Solutions Radio. Like I say, frankincense, melaleuca, any of the citrus, Melissa is very good, but it's an expensive one. If it's a high-grade company like doTERRA, essential oils, all of them really are good against bacteria and funguses. So lemon, lime, grapefruit, wild orange, these are all good against infections. doTERRA has one called On Guard. Have you ever noticed that in Japan, they don't shake hands? They're also a lot healthier. They don't spread germs. Anyway, they developed this instead of shaking hands like in Europe and the United States. Now we have a fist bump or an elbow bump. I think that's a better idea than shaking hands. There was another question for sinus infections about essential oils. And again, lavender is one of the better ones. And lavender smells so good. And put a little bit in each nostril and then again on your finger and thumb and put it underneath your nose and on your upper lip. You just put it under your lip like that. And every time you breathe in, it'll go right into your nose and sinus cavities and essentially knock that out. And then, like I say, the other ones that are internal, that'll help viruses or bacteria. And then you can use a diffuser, almost like a breathing treatment, a nebulizer, because the diffuser nebulizes the essential oils, and you can just put your head over that diffuser and take 3 or 4 or 5 breaths and fill your lungs, and you'll get the essential oils into your lungs, and you'll be okay. So good morning. Are you listen only, or do you have a question?
I have a question, doctor.
Okay.
I have seizures, and I go like long periods of time in between seizures, and I don't have any potassium, but I do eat bananas, and that seems to help. How much potassium do bananas have?
The only other thing you have to worry about, not just potassium, seizures, you have to be concerned about sugars. So on the bananas, I would say, you know, there's bananas can be either yellow with no freckles, or the bananas can have a lot of freckles all over them, little brown freckles. Not the big brown spots, those are bruises. The more freckles it has, the riper it is and the higher amounts of sugar that you're going to get in. So I would use the banana that's still yellow, not hard, not green, but it still hasn't ripened enough to give you all that sugar, because you do have to be concerned about sugar for seizures. And that even includes certain carbohydrates that turn to sugar too quickly. You know, when you eat foods that don't have a lot of sugar in it, that's going to really help. There's another one, essential oil called clary sage, and that can help with seizures. Copaiba, CBD oil, which comes from the hemp plant, was first acknowledged to be very, very effective against seizures. And now doTERRA has come out with an essential oil from the copaiba. It's a Brazilian tree. And so copaiba is as effective in the CBD. And they actually talk about it at about 30 to 60% higher in receptors. So when you take that, that can also help. But if you still get them once in a while, it means you're probably eating something that might be stimulating it. The only thing with potassium, when potassium gets too high in your blood, like if it starts to be above 5.7, you know, we like it about below, you know, in the fours. But once you start getting above 5.3, I don't think it's going to cause it. But when you get potassium up as high as 6, let's say, it can cause heart palpitations. So you have to be careful of too much potassium because of heart palpitations. Or if someone's on dialysis, any kind of kidney failure, kidneys help to regulate the potassium. And so actually those on dialysis will tell you, you know, be very careful about two minerals, potassium and phosphorus, because they can build up in the system if you're on dialysis. So you have to just be careful of that. But I don't think you're going to be too concerned, especially if you use the banana that's not quite soft yet. That should really help.
Okay.
And then again, I would do copaiba.
I do. I take copaiba and CBD.
The CBD, depending upon which type or strain of marijuana you smoke, is going to be the concentration of how much CBD. Now they're actually producing marijuana plants that are very high in CBD and very low in THC, because the THC doesn't affect the brain as much, other than it'll get you high. Another way of taking marijuana to get the CBD or THC is not to heat it. When you smoke it or put it in a food or make a tea, it gets heated. That's when the THC changes and you get high. But if you eat it, like to get a high-grade CBD marijuana, you take one little bud, chop it up real fine, mix it with some cottage cheese or yogurt or something soft like that, and then you just eat it. But again, don't heat it. But when you heated it and you smoked it, it's because you got that in, and it sometimes it is a miraculous plant. I think the marijuana and the hemp plant are almost miracle plants that have been put on the earth, because they give all kinds of medicine.
Can you address the condition of having nodules on adrenal glands? Do they need to be surgically removed, or are they okay to leave alone when they are considered benign?
It depends if it's affecting your parathyroid. And so what they'll do is they'll do a blood test with your calcium levels. And if your calcium scores are, let's say, getting higher than when you measure it in the tens, 10.3, but if it starts to be 10.9 or in the 11s, then they're going to definitely check your parathyroid. So if the nodule is growing, or if it's affecting your parathyroid, they'll probably go in and remove the nodule. Now, if the nodule is solid and external of the thyroid, they'll just remove the nodule. But if the nodule is infiltrated into the part of the thyroid, they'll probably remove that side. They don't remove the whole thing. They just, as much as possible, attempt to remove just the nodule. But sometimes they'll remove one side or the other side, wherever the nodule is. So you still have the other half of your thyroid and the other half of your parathyroid. So you're pretty okay. But if it's affecting that parathyroid, then you do have to have it treated, because the effect on the parathyroid is worse than not doing anything. So it is important to have that taken care of. And again, most of the time, it's a very benign minor surgery. They'll just go in and remove the little nodule and have none. But if it's benign and not doing anything and it's not growing, then you're totally okay. Good morning.
Good morning, doctor. I have a question.
Okay.
My wife is 58, a year and a half ago. She was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
The cancer had, it had spread to the liver, the lung. Oh, there's some other spots in the chest. A lot of it in the lymph nodes.
So that's already
and
dangerous.
She's had about almost 30 chemos, about five or six different types of drugs since then. And now they're saying that they're at the end of the line for chemo. They want to do some sort of targeted therapy. For that, we'll have to go out of town. We've been doing some natural things. You know, we've doing some organic wheatgrass drinks. You know, and we don't have junk food in the house, and we drink alkaline water, and, you know, just various things.
As much as you can that you're learning, The most important thing with any kind of cancer, and once they label it stage 4, it means that the primary cancer, which in this case was breast cancer, that now spreads. And once it spreads to the liver and the lungs and maybe the bones and the lymph system, it becomes very difficult. So the first thing I would say is, according to the research, there are no chemotherapy agents that can affect stage 4 cancers. What they'll look for is tumors to merely get smaller, okay? But that doesn't mean the cancer is gone. And what ends up happening is you get cancer cells that are stronger and stronger and stronger, and they become more and more resistant. So what becomes critical is getting on a natural program, which it sounds like you're starting to already. When I first started, Dr. Randolph Stone was talking about wheatgrass, and then Ann Wigmore took that, and she became the one that talks about using wheatgrass. A lot of people use that. But more important than the wheatgrass is following a very specific diet, and it has to be a vegetarian ketogenic diet with a good 60 to 70% raw food. And one of the things that you have to make sure of, there's an amino acid called methionine. And you want to be careful because cancer loves the amino acid methionine. So you have to do a very restricted on all the foods you eat. They have to be very restricted in the amino acid methionine. So there's different herbs and vitamins and enzymes that you can take. Then there's some very specific kinds of therapies. We use high-grade oxygen therapy, and we use electrical therapy, and we also use far infrared therapy. So we use three very specific therapies. Two of them, the EWOT, which is exercise with oxygen therapy, you're breathing high amounts of oxygen, and the far infrared sauna, you're also breathing high amounts of oxygen while you're in that. That sauna will help go after cancer anywhere else in the body. And then if you have it in the lung, as an example, then you'll use different kinds of essential oils in a diffuser and use it as a nebulizer and actually breathe that in to go after the cancer in the lungs. The cancer outside the lung, that's where you use the far infrared heat. Cancer doesn't like heat. Now, in regular medicine, they'll use radiation because cancer doesn't like the heat, and radiation causes that kind of heat. If they're using more and more chemicals, what they're doing is making the cancers more and more resistant. So you have to be careful on that. And there's essential oils, there's vitamins, there's minerals, there's herbal compounds, and then you're drinking the alkaline water, which is good, and then there's very specific diet.
Diet you mentioned was a vegetarian. Does it have to be vegan or
not necessarily vegan?
Okay.
It's pretty much vegetarian, but at least for the first 1 to 3 months, we don't even like dairy products. And again, you want to really lower the amount of sugar. Cancer cells feed on sugar. They use sugar to ferment to make their ATPs. So it has to be pretty strict. Once you have stage 4 cancer, for at least the 2 months, you have to really be strict.
I bought some CBD oil from Barleans. They're making several different ones.
Uh-huh.
Barleans, I think, is pretty reputable. And they actually have a 40% discount for cancer patients.
That's correct.
From their website. And, well, initially, actually, she's been using the CBD all along. I was getting some from Colorado.
Now, doTERRA makes one called Copaiba, and also very high in CBD action. So we see people doing traditional and non-traditional, meaning some people just decide, I only want to do alternative, and some people say, I want to do both. And we support people that do both. So that's what I'm going to suggest.
After what I've seen with this chemo, I think if I ever get cancer, I'm an armchair quarterback here, but I think if I ever get cancer, it's going to be all natural and prayer. And if
prayer.
The Lord wants me home, I'm bound for glory, you know, but... Thanks for all you do. I think El Paso has a treasure in having you.
Thank you so much. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at Natural Solutions Radio. Another article I want to talk about is how do you use foods to help with cancer? You know, for a lot of people, having cancer is a death sentence. Indeed, the World Health Organization reports that around 1 in 6 deaths around the world is due to cancer. And it's important to understand that a lot of the risk factors for this devastating disease is either behavioral or dietary in nature. You know, they always talked about it being possibly genetics and what's your genes and DNA. But what we now know is that genetics is only manifested through your behavior, through your dietary, through what your lifestyle is. So just because you have a genetic predisposition does not mean it manifests. 5 of the leading risk factors for any kind of cancer. First one is really being high body mass index, or really being overweight. Another one is eating low fruits and vegetables, or physical inactivity, too much tobacco, too much alcohol. And to me, I put in there eating all of the foods that are high in pesticides and herbicides and fungicides and insecticides, because every one of those chemicals act as estrogen. Estrogen, we now know, is one of the main causes of cancer. What happens is, of course, in the regular medical profession, you go to your oncologist, and the first thing is chemotherapy, and then they'll talk about radiation, then heavy drugs. And when you ask the oncologist, what about dietary changes? And they'll tell you, oh, it doesn't matter. And when someone comes to me, the first thing they know is that they're going to change their diet. So there's all kinds of Albert Einstein College of Medicine has done some studies. You know, chemotherapy causes a sharp increase in cancer cells circulating throughout the body. And when you get chemotherapy, it makes the surviving cancer cells much more resistant to chemotherapy. So what do you do to break that cycle? Well, there's certain foods that have been tested throughout the years over and over, and those foods have been shown to reduce your incidence of cancer in prevention, and for those of you that have cancer, to avoid or get rid of the cancer. And one of the first is, of course, green tea. You've heard about drinking green tea. Of course, the Japanese and Chinese drink a lot of tea, and there was a study in the Journal of Anti-Cancer Research that points out that the EGCG, which is the active ingredient in green tea, is very useful in treating cancer. And it's been found to inhibit and suppress tumors, especially based on cancer stem cells. Another one is ginger, and drinking ginger tea or using ginger oil, essential oil, or actually using the ginger plant, either the fresh or the ground powder. It actually has been found to perform better than chemotherapy in targeting cancer cells without harming healthy cells around it. A lot of the research was published in the journal PLOS. They found that the essential oils in ginger actually programmed the cell death of cancer cells. The next one, and I have a number of articles on that, is turmeric. And a lot of people call it turmeric, but it's actually turmeric, T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C, not T-U-M. It's a revered spice in Ayurvedic medicine, and it has multiple health benefits. It can treat a variety of diseases, cancer and heart disease and diabetes. And the active ingredient is curcumin, and a recent study in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science, an international study, was found that the curcumin combined with certain proteins in the body that prevent cancer cells from spreading. So we sell in our store a non-irradiated organic form of turmeric. Almost 99% of all spices in the United States have been irradiated. We pride ourselves. We get our cayenne pepper, our cinnamon, and our turmeric powder, and they're very inexpensive. For people with cancer or that want to prevent cancer or other diseases, you can get the powdered turmeric, and you could put anywhere from a half a teaspoon to a teaspoon, and you'll get very high amounts of curcumin from that powder. And you put it in a smoothie or in your soups or other foods. Another one is dark grapes. Dark grapes, especially the skins and the seeds. Studies done in the British Medical Journals have shown that the proanthocyanidins and the resveratrol are in the grapes, and they can be used for cancer cells. And that's the reason I have resveratrol and these chemicals in prime longevity. And then the last one are berries, especially blueberries. A study in the journal Pathology and Oncology Research found that blueberries, and again, they have proanthocyanidins, anthocyanidins. These are heavy chemicals that can make cells more vulnerable. And actually, for those getting chemotherapy, when you have blueberries and raspberries and boysenberries, you can handle the radiation better. It makes the cancer cells more susceptible to the radiation. Blueberries and other berries can reduce the number of cancer cells by 25%. So these are some of the things that you can use. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, and we'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you all for joining us.
I have a question about chemotherapy. If a person is going to be taking chemo, what supplements are useful to survive it and to maybe get over the effects?
That's a very good question for that. Again, it depends upon the type of cancer that they have. We put people on an entire program for cancer. Not just a couple of vitamins. We change their diet, get a cancer program. Diet nutrition is primary, and one of the things is what's called a modified ketogenic vegan kind of a diet. One of the main things we do is we avoid the amino acid methionine. So that's critical in the foods low in methionine, because cancer cells love methionine, so you can help starve them. But the supplements that you can take, well, the main supplement that I always recommend for anybody with cancer is I always start off with Prime Longevity. Prime Longevity is something that I created, and it has all of the nutrients in it that you cannot eat. They're at high, high doses. They're scientific doses. It has 120 milligrams of coenzyme Q10. Price out what it costs just to take CQ10 at 120 milligrams per day. The next one is resveratrol, which is what you get in grape seeds and grape skins, and very, very high antioxidant capacity as resveratrol. We get it from giant knotweed. Price out 120 milligrams of just that nutrient. And then the same thing, price out alpha-lipoic acid and price out 120 milligrams of that. Then we have 300 milligrams of pomegranate extract, which is very high in ellagic acid. And ellagic acid has been shown in study after study to be very, very comprehensive against all forms of cancer in building the immune system. Then we have things like acetyl L-carnitine and L-carnitine, both forms. We have vitamin D and all of the B complex. We have chromium and vanadium at high doses to lower blood sugars. Things like ginger tea, that would be something anybody on chemotherapy would want to drink often or even take in capsules. Another one is spirulina. Spirulina can really build the immune system, build the system just in general so that you can handle things like chemotherapy. Now, again, a lot of times we attempt as much as possible to avoid chemotherapy and avoid radiation. Instead of radiation, we use far infrared saunas, so that the whole idea of increasing temperature. Now, in regular medicine, they use what is called radiation therapy, and it's to increase the heat. It is one of the things that you can use that really enhance the immune system. You go to places like Scandinavia, and they use saunas, oh my gosh, for 1,000 years. Anybody on chemotherapy, go up and look up Dr. Otto Warburg in the 30s and 40s. He's the only doctor in history to win 2 Nobel Prizes for cancer. Both Nobel Prizes were on cancer. Actually, over the years, he was nominated for 46 different Nobel Prizes for his research, and he won 2 of them, unopposed, and that's very rare. And what he found is that cancer cells do not use oxygen in their respiration. They ferment sugar to get their ATP in their respiration. So what we now know is cancer cells feed on sugar. Then the second thing he found out is that oxygen, because oxygen is no longer used for respiration, that when you can repair, you know, respiration from oxygen in the cell, either the cell will revert back to a healthy cell if it's not been a cancerous cell for very long, or the cancer cells will die. I think that will help anybody on chemotherapy. Make sure you're taking Prime Longevity. And they can go to primelongevity.com and order the product. You can see the ingredient list. Just scroll down on that front page. When you scroll down, there's an article on the 8 causes of disease. Then scroll down just below that is the entire ingredient list. People can look that up. Go to primelongevity.com. You can also come by the store, Health Naturally, and that's at 7040 North Mesa. We'll be right back. Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
Good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. This next article is The True History of Cancer in the United States. And you don't have to go back very far. Actually, it's only a little over of a century to find out when cancer was bred in the United States as a form of income for the tyrants of the medical industry. Forget about conspiracy theories. Let's talk facts, facts alone. And in fact, a whole barrage of them that reveal a dirty path of corruption and planning. On the last article, I talked about the beginning of the AMA in 1847 to go after the natural healers, the midwives, the Indian, American Indian healers, and the naturopaths at the time. What they did is they created the AMA, and only doctors that were giving the approval were allowed to join. They started with the 1905, actually, with the Department of Investigation to hunt down doctors who were using these natural remedies, and they wanted to shut them down. This would ensure the rise of the AMA profits. At that same time, the pharmaceutical industry started coming out with these patentable drugs. Well, once they were patented, they needed a sales team to be able to market these drugs, and they allowed only the prescribed AMA physicians that the AMA said were okay, and they were the ones allowed to prescribe these patented medicines. It was at that time that they started to go after all of the natural colleges, and there were 100 natural colleges in the United States, naturopathic colleges and iridology, herbalism. Anyway, the AMA started to go after all of these colleges. Universities that had the seal of acceptance were able to continue. And so within the next 10 to 15 years, over 100 colleges were shut down because what they did is they used their foundations and they took away the funding for any college that practiced natural medicine and only gave funding for those colleges doing research on these new prescription medications. It was a huge scam. None of the medical doctors in America were kind of privy to it. At the same time, all nutrition education was covertly removed from the medical colleges, and chemical drugs were the only legal medicine. Preventable diseases were just including Alzheimer's and diabetes and heart disease and arthritis, and most cancers before the 1900s were all cured or unheard of mostly because of the use of natural medications. Well, the infamous AMA we know of today started it all, and they're still working hard to perpetuate the nightmare. They're saying that only these pharmaceutical drugs are really what works. So what exactly is cancer? Cancer's in uncontrolled division, multiplication, and spread of mutated and warped cells that attacked healthy cells and organs. And most cancer stems from the consumption of garbage chemicals that cause an acidic body to be deprived of oxygen and to be deprived of nutrients. Though cancer was not literally created in the United States, the toxic food industry was, and the toxic drug industry was, by promoting these toxic foods. Think of it, Trixer for kids and Cocoa Puffs and Big Macs. I'm talking garbage stuff that's at all of these fast food restaurants. What we see today is one of every three Americans get cancer in their lifetime, and half of these unfortunates are terminated. Well, let me give you the timeline of how cancer occurred in the United States. In the 1900s, most cancers were very, very rare. Only about 90 people out of every 100,000 people are diagnosed with cancer. In 1905, the AMA began suppressing the known cancer cures for ailments of all sorts, and especially for cancer, and they removed nutritional education from medical colleges' curriculum, and they closed down the natural colleges. By 1930, any scientist and physician who discovered a cure for cancer found their labs either destroyed or the materials confiscated. Then they're arrested, silenced, or they were murdered. And this is still happening today, by the way. And you can go back and read some of the death by medicine and the history of the American Medical Association and some of these other books that I've mentioned, and you can find out what was going on. In the 1930s, the FDA, the AMA, and the CDC were suppressing and denying natural cures and prevention strategies for cancer. And the CDC and the FDA were using their government industry to go after any doctor or any person that said that these natural medicines actually cured anything. And that's why today you'll find that the natural doctors, naturopaths, homeopaths have to be very careful of the language that they use because they can be arrested. Now, an MD can say, you know, that we're going to write these prescriptions for you, even though these prescriptions have never been double-blind studied to see do they really cure disease or not. Again, in the 1930s, microbiologist Dr. Royal Rife proves that if microbes inside cancer cells were killed, the cells can revert back to normal cells and they can kill cancer. In 1931, doctors from around the country joined Dr. Raymond Royal Rife, who invented the first high-powered microscope that could actually directly observe bacteria and viruses. He actually isolated a filterable virus of cancers and succeeded in destroying the typhus bacteria, not to mention he also destroyed the herpes virus and even strains of polio. And this was done in 1931. By 1937, the AMA went after Dr. Royal Rife because they tried to buy his patentable medicines, and Royal Rife said, no, I'm not selling them to you. So then what the AMA did is they went after Royal Rife for fraudulent medical practices to take his license away. By 1938, the AMA were visiting all doctors who supported Dr. Royal Rife and those who were using his instruments and his inventions and also his natural medicines, and they warned them that if they continued to use them, they will lose their medical license. In 1939, the AMA and the FDA destroyed Dr. Royal Rife's laboratory and attempted to destroy all of his research, including his academic committee records that he had done research on cancer cures. And those cancer cures research were originally set up by the AMA, and he had a 100% cure rate among some of the most advanced cancers. So in 1939, the AMA literally pays cancer researcher Dr. Arthur Kendall over $250,000, that would be about a $5 million today, to stop working on cancer in the United States. So by 1944, Dr. Kendall died of mysterious unknown causes. And in the 1940s, lung cancer is scientifically discovered to be caused by smoking cigarettes. Yet the AMA and 20,000 doctors still endorsed cigarettes as healthy and good for you for another 30 years. In 1945, the auspicious beginning of water fluoridation begins in Grand Rapids, Michigan, just as World War II ends. Hitler had previously used fluoridation, the same type of fluoride in the drinking water. He used them in concentration camps to weaken and keep the Jews from rebelling them because it causes brain changes and causes apathy. In 1950, post-World War II, food factories and plants began processing American foods in cans, adding cancer-causing chemicals and additives and preservatives. In 1955, Dr. Jonas Salk removes kidneys from rhesus monkeys, injects them with three different strains of polio, incubates them to stimulate the growth of the virus. Then he dilutes the combination of strains with formaldehyde to weaken the virus, and then he injects it into live monkey mice and rabbits and claims, along with the CDC, this new miracle vaccine of the century. And it had been discovered that it's safe and potent and effective. Well, fake polio vaccine cure is shipped in vials all over the world, and the false herd theory was invented. Polio disappeared not because of the vaccine, but because of hygiene and because of hardware stores that started coming on every corner in every city. You also had laws everywhere. The opinions and views expressed are not endorsed. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning, Natural Solutions Radio, and today's show was brought to you by Prime Longevity and Health Naturally, etc. So anyway, this is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you next week.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.